This morning's scripture reading is taken from James chapter 4 verses 1 to 10. So if you have your Bible apps with you, you may turn to your Bible apps. Otherwise, you can also refer to the screen. James 4 verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This morning, we're very glad to have our senior pastor, Reverend Chua, who will bring us the message entitled Intimacy with God. Reverend Chua, please.
Peace to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The world is rapidly changing, and conflict in recent years is especially of great concern. Although peace is what we all long for, war or dispute, on the other hand, is too often the fact of life. Despite the signing of treaties, the formation of World Peace Organization, etc., not only are there tensions between nations, as we read about Ukraine and Russia, there are also conflict of one kind or another on almost every level of life. For example, between ethnic groups, as in Myanmar and India, or disputes among neighbors in the housing estates, even quarrels between individuals. And hence, our church has decided on the theme, Unchanging Mission for a Changing World. Previously, a member shared that she was under a lot of stress at work because of the tension between her colleagues, which was forcing her to take sides. She was so affected that her work suffered. Perhaps your situation is different. It may not be conflict at the workplace, but perhaps with your neighbors or within your family, or even the Cold War with your siblings, or tension with your spouse. Sadly, dispute with people closest to us is not uncommon. Peace just seems so hard to come by. Even among believers, there are conflicts. What more unbelievers? But is there a way to address the problem? How can there be peace among different people? And how could Christians be united? In our text today, James discussed this very important theme of conflict. It describes the underlying issues and how they can be stopped. We shall spend some time to consider four aspects of conflict. First of all, conflict with each other. And secondly, conflict within ourselves. Thirdly, enmity with God. And finally, friendship with God. But first, let us understand some background to our passage today. In the beginning of the epistle written by James, in verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and it will be given him." And then, using the tongue as an example, James illustrates a contradiction. And then use the contradiction of praising God and cursing people with the same tongue. The problem does not lie with the tongue, really. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. According to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Indeed, our behavior reflects the condition of our heart, which is why when comparing the two kinds of wisdom, James asks, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." Our religion is expressed through practical demonstration, not in the form of rituals, but rather through our behavior. According to James, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. In contrast, worldly wisdom is reflected in bitter envy, selfish ambition. A manifestation of worldly wisdom is seen in the conflict with each other. There is no denying that the world we live in today is plagued with conflicts. And although the Bible teaches us to love one another, to maintain unity in the body of Christ, yet we often hear of fights and quarrels among the people of God. Conflicts don't just happen among non-believers. In the New Testament, much coverage is given to addressing conflict within the church. A few years ago, a biologist conducted a study on chickens to determine how to increase their productivity in laying eggs. The chickens were divided into two groups. First, he selected an average flock of chicken and left them alone. He also formed another group, a second group, of the most productive chickens, what is referred to as super chickens, to form a super flock. After six generations had passed, guess what happened? Well, the first group of average flock of chicken, they were doing fine, in fact, very well. They were all plump, fully feathered, and the egg production had increased dramatically. But what about the second group? Well, all were dead except for three. The whole flock, only three remained. What happened? The super chickens attacked each other and packed the rest to death. Sad to say that That's what happened. When you get a bunch of super achievers together, instead of achieving something even greater together, they often end up pecking each other to death. For example, good people start a church together with the ambition to reach the lost for Christ. But instead of making disciples, they all too often generate disputes. When you put the elites together, the outcome may not be what we expect. Just as in the Chinese saying, 一山不能藏二虎. You can't have two tigers in the same mountain. Why is that so? Why do good people so often fight each other? And how can we keep that from happening? Well, according to James chapter 4, it is actually a second war that is ongoing at a deeper level. And that is the conflict within ourselves. It is the conflict of the heart, the conflict in the heart, that causes the conflict both in the church and elsewhere. James began in chapter 4, verse 1 by asking, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? And in verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2, his answer is that it comes from our passions that are at war within us. Our desire for things to satisfy us, be it power, possession, pleasures, privilege, is what makes us fight with each other. When our desires are not met, that is when conflict begins. Putting it in another way, the key problem is self-centeredness. The scripture says that conflicts and strife don't originate from outside. They actually come from inside, from our own desires. Our desires are demanding satisfaction. And when they are not satisfied, conflicts erupt. Actually, God is the only one who can meet our real needs. But instead of seeking Him, instead of asking Him, we make demands of each other. For example, at home, the husband demands respect from the wife, and the wife demands romance from the husband. At the workplace, employees demand higher wages and better benefits from their bosses, and employers demand longer hours and more work from their employees. And even in the church, members want pastors to be more caring, while pastors want greater commitment from the members. When people look to each other to get their needs met, they tend to be disappointed because only God can meet our deepest needs. And their disappointment leads to disagreements and disputes. And often our expectations are even self-contradicting and impossible to fulfill. For example, we expect luxurious cars to be cheap. We expect to eat a lot and yet stay thin. We want to be the master of our lives and yet to revere God. When our desires and expectations are not met and we are disappointed, that's where the problem begins. Because only God can meet our deepest needs. And hence, when people disappoint us, conflicts and disputes erupt. Ultimately, our desires, our self-centeredness, lead to bad decisions and wrong actions, and even causing conflicts and hurting others. And that is why there's so much conflict in our world today. But why is there conflict within ourselves? Once again, in answering that, James describes another conflict that is going on: enmity with God. Singapore is a multiracial, multilingual society. While English is the official language of commerce, most of us don't speak proper English. We admit that we speak Singlish. But I think it would be hard for us to imagine too that some Singlish words have found their way into the Oxford English Dictionary. In December 2014, the word kiasu was featured in one of the new words included in the dictionary, in the Oxford Dictionary. The word kiasu. Unbelievable. But actually, kiasu is not uniquely Singaporean. It also reflects people in general. I believe many of us are familiar with Mr. Bean, the comical character. He's very kiasu. He's even more kiasu than most of us, but he's definitely not Singaporean. So kiasu is not uniquely Singapore. It is a mentality that stems from our sense of insecurity, which in turn leads us to unending pursuits to satisfy ourselves. In fact, it is a manifestation of our sinful nature. Feeling distant from God evokes a sense of insecurity, which is reflected in greed and insatiable pursuits. And when Christians adopt a kiasu mentality, we have unwittingly assimilated worldly values. And beware, as verse 4 says, a friend of this world is an enemy of God. Worldly values such as being self-centered and kiasu, they are not only unbiblical, they actually contradict teachings of the Bible. For example, denying yourself, serving others sacrificially. And hence, when you adopt the values of the world, you are opposing God, actually. When you demand your own way, you are fighting God, eventually. There is no middle ground. When you insist on your own way of living, determined to be the master of your own life, it is a sign of pride and refusal to submit to God. A person who is a friend of the world is unfaithful to the Lord, so much so that James uses the words adulterous people, right, to describe such people. Right? Loyalty to the world is spiritual adultery. But why does James use such a strong language? Adulterous, right? Because spiritually speaking, we belong to God. It's like husband and wife. Their relationship is so close. And we belong to God for two reasons. Firstly, from the perspective of creation, God created us we belong to Him as our Maker. And secondly, in order to save us, Jesus suffered and died to redeem us from sin. And therefore, we owe our life to God. Hence, from the creation viewpoint and from the redemption perspective, we belong to God. Since the Lord paid such a great price to reconcile us to Him, to adopt a worldly value instead of embracing God's grace is to deny Christ's sacrifice as well as God's will for us. Rejection and refusal to submit to God is actually pride. And the Bible tells us that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. I believe most of us are probably quite familiar with Muhammad Ali. Those who are in the older generation probably might have seen him in action. The heavyweight boxing champion of the 20th century. It is no secret that humility was definitely not part of his character. Rather, he was known for bragging. He's always very boastful. And once he was on a plane, flying, and as required, the air stewardess asked him to put on his seatbelt. But instead, he said to her, "Superman don't need no seatbelt," implying that he was Superman, does not need a seatbelt. The flight attendant was very courteous and said, "Superman don't need no plane." Right? You won't be taking a plane if you are Superman, right? Pride distorts our self-assessment. We think much more highly than we ought to. And it is the root of rage and strife. Someone who is often in conflict with others is undoubtedly a proud person. Pride leads to strife. So let us remember, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When I was in secondary school, I was invited to a student's fellowship. I wasn't a Christian then, at that time. And I used to think that one day, someday in the future, I will become a Christian. But not until I have achieved what I wanted. I wanted to get a degree, I wanted a stable career, and there are lots of things I want to attain, and dreams I want to materialize. In other words, I wanted to determine my own future, my own destiny. I wanted to be the master of my life. But thank God, by His grace, He did not give up on me. Subsequently, I realized that life is unpredictable. It is fragile and beyond my power to control. I can't even be sure that I'll be here tomorrow. Nobody can be sure. And how can I be so certain that I get to complete the plans that I've drafted? And as I humbled myself before the Lord and submitted my life to Him, He set me free. When we insist on being the master of our life, It is a sign of pride and insecurity. We are told that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. By humbling ourselves before God, we experience God's grace of restoration. In our relationship with Him, in our relationship with ourselves and with others. It is your choice today. You may think that you can be your own master, but in reality, this world becomes your master. And when you adopt the values of this world and go after what the world has to offer, you have become an enemy of God. Alternatively, you can choose to serve Christ when you submit to His Lordship by following the way of Jesus and what He has to offer. You cannot do both. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the other and despise the one." You cannot serve God and money. Which would you choose today? You may choose to serve the Lord and let Him be the captain of your soul, in which case you need to humble ourselves before Him and relinquish control of our lives. To have deep-seated peace, which is what we always long for, is to be at peace with God. Verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves before the Lord." We need to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ. Otherwise, we are fighting a losing battle. And only as we humble ourselves before God can we establish friendship with God. Actually, the tension and conflict among people is not merely due to the difference in their positions or cultural backgrounds. There's a deeper cause in the inner conflict within ourselves. We are separated from God due to our sin, which leads to inner and external conflicts. Unless the root issue is addressed, we cannot deal with the different levels of conflict. Only when Jesus offered Himself as the atoning sacrifice can we resolve the issue of sin. We can't do it ourselves. While we deserve to be punished for our sins, Jesus took upon Himself the sin that we have committed. As Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." How could we then choose friendship with this world rather than friendship with God? God did all this because He wants us to be closer to Him. So let us choose to be friends with Christ. So what is the sign of being a friend of God? How could you tell whether someone is a friend of God? The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 14, "You are my friend if you do what I command you." Obedience is the sign. And James is urging us, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Even as we talk about getting closer to God, we are reminded that God has always been close by, all the time. King David made this very clear in Psalm 139, where he said in verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" There's nowhere that you can hide from God, really. we can be as close to God as we want to be, because He's here all the time. Now remember, God is always with us, even when we are unaware of His presence. In those times, God is like a father following a little toddler around. The child doesn't have a clue that the father was behind him. He was just looking ahead, wobbling around, learning how to walk, seeing where he can go and what he can do. But his father is right behind him, with his outstretched arms, ever ready to catch him if he were to fall. And that's what God is to us. He is always there, even though we may not be aware. Sometimes we may feel distant from God, and we think, can God really be close to us? If God is everywhere, if He's just next to us, then why is there a need for us to draw near to Him? He's already next to us. But have you ever felt lonely, even though you're not alone? I'm sure you have. When you're in a crowd, the person sitting next to you in the MRT, he's so close, and yet you feel alone. The one sharing your bed may not share your dream. To draw near to God, we need to humble ourselves, even though He's so close, but to really experience in intimacy with Him. The Bible says, James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. It's a great promise, a promise with a condition. In our life journey, we are always progressing, moving forward. All of us want to grow and mature. We want to improve. But advancement is not by being kiasu. It's not by fighting one another. It's not by stepping on one another in order to lift ourselves up. Otherwise, we will see the vicious cycle of conflict in motion, resulting in a hurtful world that is all too common. On the contrary, to break out of this vicious cycle, we need to humble ourselves, submitting to God so as to draw near to Him. And when Christians draw near to God individually, we are also drawing closer to each other at the same time. And that's how we could experience unity. When it comes to getting close to God, it is quite natural to think of studying the Word of God and praying. These are all very important spiritual disciplines. But the key is still humility and submission. When we study the Word of God, it is not just to increase our Bible knowledge, but to obey and submit to the teachings of the Bible. Right? Similarly, when we pray, it is not to demand things from God, but to humbly seek God's will for us. Does our daily life reflect our humble submission to God? Are we drawing closer to God? Let's pray together. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word to enlighten us, that there are so much conflict in the world today, And the issue is not without, but within us. So often we have inner conflict within ourselves because of the insecurity that we may have, because of the self-centeredness of wanting to be the master of our own life, because we have followed the values of this world and became enemies of God. Help us, O Lord, to humble ourselves. Even though you are close by, you seem to be distant because of our pride. May you break down our pride that we may enter into your presence in humility to enjoy communion with you, that we may also draw closer to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.